Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. Here I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
So good to have you in studio, Melissa. Always love working out with
working with you here.
I almost said working out with you here, which kind of is a workout.
A little bit. I mean, not a lot.
I bet you'd be a great workout partner.
I suck at it. I'll cheer you on, you know, sure. But and I keep up with you, maybe not so much.
No. Well, that kind of chit-chat, another chit-chat, we're going to get into it a little bit. Because we have the best chit-chat topics to get into.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that. But we got to kick things off the way we like to around here with our great friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Everybody say good morning to Mr. Paul Trombley. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there, Paul?
Not too bad. Everything's there.
We're doing good. Happy to have
little
some sun
hazy.
Out there. A little hazy. A little bit of a haze out there. Got to get used to that, though, for right now, huh?
Yeah, still feeling that smoky haze with us. And yeah, air quality, not the greatest out there for us by any means here with that in the even lower atmosphere out there this morning and today. But it looks like we are going to see probably some gradual improvement in that air quality as we get into tomorrow and the rest of the week. And a few shower storm chances also starting to head back in to the area. But yeah, still dealing with some of that a haze and kind of hazy sunshine as a result from what we'll see of it today here. Highs about 81. North wind 5 to 10, 57, partly cloudy tonight. And then on Wednesday, some sunny breaks, late day shower storm chances. Highs about 81. 61 showers and storms in that forecast Wednesday night. 84, some scattered shower storms on Thursday. And then still some more mid-80s Friday, chance for a shower storm. Looks like the rain chances are lessening here for the weekend. So overall, looking some sunshine both Saturday and Sunday, about 83 both days, and still some mid-upper 80s in the early next week as we get closer to the 4th holiday here. So not too bad a outlook here for that holiday forecast and extended period.
Yeah. That sounded good. I like all the rain in that forecast.
Yeah, can't beat that. Hey, Paul, I got a quick question for you, Paul. For most of us, a lot of us, we're stuck in an elevator with somebody we don't know. We're going up 20 floors, and you need some chit-chat, need something to talk about. What do? You go to the weather. It feels a little on the nose for you, though, sir. Do you find that you don't want to go to weather right away, Paul, or is it...
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to weather too.
Okay.
Good on you. Meteorologist, though. So I keep it. You know, I don't tell them I'm a meteorologist. I just kind of have casual weather talk.
Right on. You know? Right on.
Yeah. Don't smack him across the face with your credentials. It's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Paul. You have a great day. Thanks for talking with us.
All right, you bet. You guys too.
Best in the business, right there.
He's such a good sport.
He's so good. He's so great. I appreciate him doing that. I do want to get into chit chat, but I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
I just in the middle of it was thinking, like, wait a minute, what does Paul do when he wants to?
He also talks about the weather.
I suppose that makes sense. We're going to get into a little bit of that topic in a moment here. We've also got some great stuff lined up for you. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club around the corner. We're also going to learn, let you know how if you want to learn a new language, what the one of the better ways to do that is.
Oh.
Got that coming up. We're going to talk about the word sensitive.
Sensitively?
Yes. That's what
we will sensitively discuss that topic.
I knew you'd have something for that. I got an opening one, though, here with the whole, real quick, 9 o'clock hour, entertainment news, that ain't right stories, some local good stories of the day. We'll treat you good coming up here in the next 2 hours. I want to kick things off with this new poll that found most of us are fine with small talk, but the most common responses as far as where we go to for chit-chat. What is our go-to thing to talk about? For 99% of men out there, it is sports. It is an easy one. If you don't know it, you're in the elevator, you don't know the other guy, and you happen to notice he's got a jersey on or maybe his wallet is a team or something, and that's what we go to. That's what we do.
That's funny because if I don't want to engage in small talk, I say, how about them Cubbies?
Nice. Yeah. That's,
and then it just kind of dies there.
That works. There you go. So let's look at this and see where we fall on this one. What do we go to? What are the most chit-chat things we have? The headline is the best chit-chat topics.
Mm.
So 35% of us like or love chit-chatting with people, 24% dislike or hate it, and 37% are neutral, so just going through the motions.
Mm.
I fall into probably that latter part. I'm not going to reach out necessarily to talk to a stranger, but if they start talking to me, I don't close up or anything. Mm. I'm not the most engaging person in the world. I'll be completely honest. When you talk for a living, you get a little burnt out by the end of the by Wednesday. Most people, I like interacting with people. I like learning more about people and strangers and that. And I find that I feel more alive the more I interact with people.
For me, I think it depends on the day. And also what capacity I'm at something in. You know, if I'm there as a, you know, representative from work, or if I'm doing an interview or something along those lines, I will chit-chat up everybody that I can, find out as much information and interact. And, you know, something with the theater, kind of the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
But on a normal day-to-day, I kind of just stay in my lane.
Went out with my oldest friend Chris this weekend, and I can't even tell you the last time we did that, and ran into a couple of people, and it was great, but it did feel a little work-like at times when I run into people that I know from this from the station and everything. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm happy to run into anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, you switch gears. You know, him and I are out, and we're talking sports, we're talking life and all that.
Well, you're catching up with your friend. Yeah. That's a little different.
And but then as soon as you see somebody you know from work or from like Midday Magazine or something like that, immediately the gears shift and you're in work mode a little bit. You know, man, I get it. If you so most of us think we're pretty good at it, though, chit-chatting and small talk. 81% said that they'd at least they're at least okay at making small talk, including 18% who think that they're great at it. If you never know what to talk about, the poll covered that too. It asked about 6 different topics, and here they are ranked from most to least popular. Want to start at the bottom or the top with this one?
Well, let's start at the top.
And number one, your hobbies or theirs. 44% of us think that it's a good conversation starter. Not bad.
If your hobbies align.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean, you could really bore somebody talking about something they had absolutely no interest in. I collect toenails. You know, the clippings.
Yeah.
I have this extensive collection. And you, how many people that I have collected from, you would never even guess. And that's not real. I don't collect people's toenails. That's gross.
That would be pretty gross hobby. That would be a pretty nasty one. I am the exact opposite of this one. I got really inspired by my Uncle Mike when I was young. And not that young, but a little bit younger. Mike will sit there, and whatever you want to talk about, what do you do for a living? And then he'll, really? And he just gets so engaged, and he genuinely cares. And I pull on that for Midday Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And after doing that show for about 5-6 years or whatever, now I am that person.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to talk about, you know, Sasquatches and how they're real or something like that, I will sit there and I'll have a conversation with you about it. I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, get me to believe in it or something like that. But I love engaging with, genuinely doesn't matter to me. And I've learned this through that show. What you're passionate about, as long as if you're passionate about something, I can get engaged with you. I can get into it, even if it's not a field or a topic that I know much about. Agriculture is like that for me.
Well,
I don't know a whole lot about farming or ag, but every day that I learn something more about it, I get really into it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest way to carry on a conversation, is to just keep asking questions about what the person is talking about. It also deflects from having to talk about yourself.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, Melissa. And I'm very good at that. Yes. Current events, 43%. Men are more likely to say that's a good topic.
Okay. That one can be a little tricky.
Oh, my God. Nope. No, thank you. I ain't touching on anything about it. I don't care if we're talking about milk prices. I'm not getting near it nowadays. People will find a way to tie anything back to politics nowadays.
Yep.
It does not matter what you're talking about. They will make the argument that everything bleeds into politics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that. I believe that politics are vital. They're important. You should be informed. You should understand what's going on in the world. It should not rule your world.
Right.
I think that you can have a balance in life. You can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Travel, 41% like to do that. Like, maybe ask if they've gone anywhere recently. That's a fun one. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a good one.
That's not a bad idea.
The Paul Trombley special at number four, weather.
I'm surprised that one is so far down the list.
Me too, yeah.
I would have thought that had been number one.
Kind of seems like a last resort topic, but 39% of us actually enjoy talking about the weather. I'll say I hadn't thought about this until just now, but when I was in California, couldn't care less about the weather. Here in the Midwest, love talking about the weather. Mm. I don't know if it's because of the changes or what.
It changes a lot more often.
Maybe we're a little more, well, California's pretty tied to their culture, to their weather too. As far as they're a huge dairy state and stuff. So I was going to say maybe it's because of that, but no, they've got that too out there. So I don't know. Showbiz or entertainment comes in at number five. 39% of people think that's a fun one until you start talking to me. then that small conversation turns into, well, actually, did you know? And I'm like, no, I didn't know and I don't care. Shut up, James.
No spoilers.
Work or school comes in at number six. Only 23% think it's a good chit chat topic.
Six. Kind of surprised that's also so low on the list.
Yeah. Speaking of six, 6% said that they wouldn't want to talk about any of that stuff. So they probably in that group of just hate small talk in general. Which I know that I wouldn't say, I don't know if this is necessarily like my aunt or not, but my aunt is a deep talker. And if she can't have a deep conversation, she's almost not interested. and I don't begrudge her that, but I do. It does seem like every conversation will be a heavy conversation.
So it starts off with, so what do you do for a living? Oh, was that always your dream?
Yes.
Did your parents inspire you to move into that career?
That's my Aunt Sandy.
Okay.
I love her to death. She's like a big sister to me. I love her so much, but that is her. That is my Aunt Sherry, too. Not surprising, both my mom's mother, sisters.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a fun one. That was a fun topic. I like that. You can go to YouGov.com if you'd like to see the complete article. Encourage you to do so.
I would argue, though, almost that every small talk starts with the weather. It might move into other topics right after that, but how do you greet somebody you don't know? You know, hey, it's a nice day.
Yeah. You don't tend to walk up and say, hey, who'd you vote for? Like, you don't tend to do
or
that.
Or even sports, you don't have typically start off straight up with, yeah, did you see that Twins game last night?
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. We don't tend to do that. The weather is the go-to.
It's the opener.
Right there. Yes. How about that weather? Taking a break, coming back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR locally grown radio. I gotta find out who this is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I might know.
I think we should know.
Yeah. It doesn't sound American though. Like it sounds like it might have been produced by Americans, but doesn't sound like an American artist necessarily. Might be. Seth will tell me, and I'll be completely wrong, and I'll lose my music card.
It's probably like Bjork or somebody like
yes,
that.
Yes. It's time for Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is some celebrating. What we encourage you to do is get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 south of Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us for celebrating us all these birthdays and anniversaries.
Yeah.
And make sure to get on over there and let them know that it's your birthday. You'll get a free slice of Brian's pie.
Free pie.
And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Send them to info@wfhr.com. or james@wfhr.com. Go ahead and direct message us through Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. However you'd like to do it, just hit us up and we'd love to celebrate with you. We have two names on the list. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
I'll choose one.
All right. Gives us our qualifier. So first up, we want to wish a very good a very big happy birthday to Jamie Braun.
Happy birthday, Jamie.
Jamie, a member of the Lizards, a very talented, incredible musician. I really had a great time talking with him, hanging out with him a couple weeks back when Seth and I did Director's Cut with the Lizards.
Oh, yeah.
Encourage you to check out those interviews at civicmedia.us. Just go into Director's Cut podcast and you'll be able to find it. Great conversations. And Jamie, incredibly smart man. Really knows his stuff when it comes to music. What I was saying before, like I'm not a huge musician, but when I get to talk to people like Jamie about music, I'm all
passionate
in.
About their craft.
So much fun. So much fun. Great guy. Keep on rocking, Jamie.
Yeah, have a happy birthday.
And our qualifier today, Anna Greeno.
Happy birthday, Anna.
Anna, enjoy your day. I hope it's a great one for you. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm, and you're our qualifier.
It's a beautiful name, by the way, Anna mm-hmm. Green. That's a good name. Anna's our qualifier. So we move on to some celebrity names now, and we wish a happy 24th birthday to Chandler Riggs. He was Carl on The Walking Dead.
Ooh.
He did a good job on that show.
I never watched that show.
I didn't miss much. Okay. it was some great acting in the first couple seasons, but if you saw the first couple seasons, you probably saw the whole. it was pretty much the same storyline over and over again. But great actors on the show, I'll say that.
I have heard that.
Madeline Sweetin is 32, raised daughter Allie on Everybody Loves Raymond. She did a good job on that. Matthew Lewis is 34. Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter movies.
Yes, I like him.
He has gotten, he hasn't done a whole lot of work, but he has been very noteworthy afterwards because apparently he is very hot.
He is very hot.
He does look handsome. I'll say that. I mean, he does look handsome.
He's also ripped.
Well, I don't know how much it had to do with him playing that role or not or anything, but I could see being motivated, by that and everything. He did a really good job on that, by the way.
He did. Yeah, I appreciated him in that character.
He was perfect for that role. Let's see here. Ed Westwick is 35. He is Chuck on Gossip Girl. Did a good job on that.
I like that show.
Yeah, he was good on that. Let's see here. Nope, not talking about them or them. Let's see. Leah Nash is 47. Sixpence None the Richer singer.
I love that song.
Kiss Me, There She Goes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Don't Dream It's Over. They did a nice job with Don't Dream It's Over. That was not a bad cover.
Mm-hmm.
Tobey Maguire is 48.
Wow.
Yeah. For some reason, thought he might be a little bit older, but at the same time, that seems really young, too. Mm-hmm. It makes
sense.
Well,
it's also because he looks so young.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a baby face.
Tobey Maguire, not that he's done any bad work in his career, but I think a lot of his best work came early on. The movie he did with Michael Caine was incredibly good. He did a really good job with Michael Caine in that. I can't remember what the name is. Good night. You princes of Maine. It's a big line from it at the end. I can't remember the name of the movie, though. But he's a good actor. Nice career. Nice career. And not going anywhere.
No.
He has been building back his career after taking some time off, doing the Spider-Man movie a couple of years ago, or a year or two ago, whatever it was.
Oh, Pleasantville was the first movie I remember seeing him in.
Very good in it. He was very good in that. Let's see. J.J. Abrams is 47, brilliant creator of Alias, Lost, directed The Force Awakens, The Rise of Skywalker, the new Star Trek movies, Mission Impossible 3. J.J. Abrams is one of the better creatives out there and one of the most sought after creatives, producers, directors there is in the game. I would give anything to work with a guy like him. He is something.
Okay. He didn't write Lost.
No, he was one of the creators of
it. Yeah, well, because, I just very disgusted with how that show ended.
Very, very. I could not agree with you more. It was not my show.
I was so disappointed.
It was my ex's at the time. It was her favorite show in the universe.
Well, really got you in that first season, and then it held you for quite some time, but by the time you got to that last season.
So one of the things that we've talked about in the writing classes at Second City, by the way, and in some other classes that I've been in, we're only weeks away, months away, maybe years away from there being a class you can take at a university on Lost and how to mess up a good TV show. I'm not even exaggerating. Like it's now used as an example of, hey, you've got this great show. You've got the audience right where you want them.
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is wondering, what's with the polar bear? What's with the mist? All this stuff and everything. And then when you finally, what you do is you just keep bringing more questions. You don't answer anything.
No answers.
And anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not writing. That's just like, I had this weird
danger. I don't know where to go. Let's just do this.
Yeah. It's not writing. You have to
It's not the continuation of the story.
If you and I go to pitch a movie to CBS or ABC, right now, one of the first questions they'll have, that's a great idea. How are you ending it? Because they had an idea at Lost, and then because of the rise of social media and stuff, which nobody saw coming, but all of a sudden you had people who could go online and share theories. And for the first time, it wasn't just you and I at the water cooler talking about this. It was everybody in the world talking about what's the Miss Monster. And so as the writers of Lost have this happen, they're seeing plot lines being exposed that nobody could know about, that they just came up with. So, of course, they want to reinvent the wheel. They want to do something different.
Well, we can't do what they're saying we're going to do.
Right, which I think they would have been better off doing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, it's not purgatory. It's not, what are you calling it? I mean, come on, man. We all saw the last episode. Come on. Lori Morgan is 64.
Really?
A great friend of ours here at this radio station, WFHR. Lori's joined us a couple of times on the air. First time was during the pandemic. It could not have been a bigger sweetheart. I would. Lori Morgan asked me for a kidney. I'll probably give it to her. Like I really enjoyed talking with her on air, off air. Wonderful human being. Mm-hmm. Great singer and songwriter, too. Julia Duffy is 72. She was Stephanie on Newhart. Good character actor. Had a good run there in the late 80s, 90s. She was good. And some people no longer with us. Ross Perot, born in this day in 1930, passed away in 2019. Ross Perot is part of the reason why I think that we look at third candidates differently. You know, there's a couple of people that have run independently in the presidential elections and become noteworthy, not so much because of their run or their chances that they were actually going to get into office, but for the kind of trickling effect that it has, where it doesn't tend to pull from both parties, but one. And which one will it be this time, kind of thing. And that whole polyscience thing that you can get into if you want and stuff that I and
number
my family.
Number analysis. And
I find that stuff interesting. I do not expect most to. But I there's a lot of things that are very interesting to me about it.
Well, the most interesting part is that there's such a small percentage of people that they are appealing to out of the party. And it can throw everything completely off.
It gets, and I think it's very low-hanging fruit to say, well, this person ran, so that's why this person won. By the standards, that's not always the case. It can be on some levels, but it's not usually the case. It has been at times in history, certainly. But there are times where it also has had no effect.
And it also brings up the topic of, we should have more than two parties. And I really like the idea of ranked choice voting.
I'm a huge fan. If ranked choice voting was a sports team, I would be wearing their jersey almost every day. I'm a gigantic fan of ranked choice voting. And I do think that whether people like it or not, that is
that's where we're headed.
That's the direction we're going. Yeah,
I hope so.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it to themselves anyway. These parties are just eating themselves alive. It's just cannibalism inside the parties now. So,
and it's not about the people.
No.
It's about power.
And they're not some of these people aren't even trying to hide it anymore.
No.
So I think as that's being more and more opened up to the American public, we're more and more seeing, hey, wait a minute. Why is it that when I go into the grocery store and I want to buy salt, there are 90 different types of salt I can buy. Low-fat salt, low-diet salt, lemon salt.
Low-sodium salt.
Yeah, yeah. but during a presidential election, one of the most important things that I do in my life, as I'm told as an American, one of the responsibilities as an American.
Civic duty.
I got two options. Two guys, not just two options, but two of the same dang options I've had my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man. Come on. It ain't right. We know it ain't. We know it isn't right. We know we can do better. Have better standards. Expect more out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Born in this day as well, the great Bob Keeshan. You may know him better as Captain Kangaroo. Did you know that Captain Kangaroo served in the United States Marine Corps and was a member of the Clown Hall of Fame? Not to mention entertaining many of us for many years. Born in 1927, passed away in 2004. And I think many of us can say one of our greater influences in life, especially when you are young in school, Helen Keller, born in this day in 1880, passed away in 1968.
Wow.
I don't know how you can read anything about Helen Keller and not be inspired, not be motivated.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
One more time, want to wish a very happy birthday to Jamie Brunn. Enjoy your day, sir.
Happy birthday, Jamie.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Anna Greeno.
Happy birthday, Anna. Congratulations.
Enjoy. We encourage you to enjoy and treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Time for Melissa's News on locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. 8:36 on the clock. And I think this is a pretty interesting one, Mel. Instead of listening to music to get you going while you exercise, you know, what you should really be rocking out to is Duolingo.
Duolingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys who will let you get you in a zone, they get you all motivated and everything. It's hard to learn a new language as an adult, but apparently several recent studies have found it's easier if we try to learn one while we're exercising.
Really?
Wouldn't have thought of this.
That's hilarious.
When we're moving our bodies, our brains do a better job understanding, memorizing, and permanently retaining new vocabulary words. And scientists think it's because exercise alters the biology of our brains to make them more open to taking in new information.
Interesting.
And I think we may have an example of this, Melissa.
What's that?
As actors. It is much easier for me to learn my lines once I'm getting my blocking down.
Yep.
Associating a line with a movement.
Mm-hmm.
You've always...
Where you're standing on the stage.
Yeah.
And you deliver that line. Yeah.
Movement, memorization. I'm seeing some connections mm-hmm. here. I'm seeing a little bit. I wouldn't have thought of this off the cuff, but yeah.
I find this hilarious because I am determined that I am going to learn Spanish in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I have paid for a subscription that I have now for 2 years.
Oh, no.
that I've done a very tiny bit of work on, but, you know, I'll get to it. I'm not going to beat myself up over it.
No,
we got a lot of changes and a lot of things going on here several months. So the funny thing is that the time that I have in the day to do it is when I'm on the elliptical.
Oh. Huh.
So that's what now I have more motivation to actually do it when I'm on the elliptical as opposed to listening to my book.
This article came from the New York Times, but it might as well be the Melissa Times. It's directed right at you, Mel. Do you ever feel like that sometimes?
Every
when
once
you're
in
reading
a while.
Something? Like, wait a minute, is anybody else seeing this?
Were they looking at my life when they wrote this?
Man, Google's really gotten out of hand here. It's really...
Maybe there is a camera in my TV.
I laugh at that kind of stuff. The idea of anybody watching me when I'm just randomly like doing notes or I can't imagine how boring that would be.
Oof.
I'm not doing anything exciting, people. Trust me. It's boring. I like this, but I think that we do have kind of a little parallel with this.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to this. I just wouldn't have thought of the two together. I think my cousin is a linguist. He's a linguist in the U.S. Army, and I say a good morning to him down there in Texas where he is. He knows 7 different languages. The last
wow.
Actually, I think he knows 9 now.
Oh my, that's impressive.
And he's one of those guys. He'll go overseas and be a translator for our soldiers, and that's one of the things. It's one of his jobs.
Cool.
I've talked with him about this before because I am fascinated by his brain and that he can keep all of this up there. As a kid, it wasn't a big deal to me to know a Puerto Rican family, the new Spanish in all the different forms in Spain, Mexico, and that's kind of common for their language. It's kind of common for their people. I wouldn't assume that if you meet a Latin person, but
it is far more common in every other culture but ours.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because since we're such a melting pot, that's the thing to me, one of the biggest things to embrace about being an American, we got it all, baby. We were just talking about having variety. That's America. We got it all. You want a language? We got it. You want a creed? We got it. You know, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I think that makes our country that much stronger and more powerful. It doesn't seem like we've embraced the language aspect. Or maybe there's a little bit of a chip on the shoulder kind of thing about the English language. And, hey, this is America's language. We're gonna stand on it. We're going to, you know, as a young country, you know, what do? We fight for ourselves. We want to represent ourselves. Hey, what about America? Hey, what about this?
Well,
I could see a little bit of both.
Yeah, and it's not just that because it's happened in other countries, too. Look at what happened in Ireland with Gaelic and how they were discouraged and sometimes punished for speaking Gaelic language in schools and how it was pushed to speak English. You have to learn English. You need to better yourself. Well, I mean, I think that there's so much that's lost, though, if we lose all these other languages. How many words for love are there in the English language?
Yeah.
Compared to all of these other languages that have so many more words for it. And that's one example.
You say that and it got me thinking of Ellis Island. And, hey, I'm coming in and I'm the DeMontes. And nope, you're Smith. Like that, that didn't help anything. That didn't help anything when we're changing people's names and everything just so that it's easier for us to say as Americans. That ain't right. That ain't what our country is. So that's a little, maybe that had a little to do with it too. I don't know. I don't know if it did or not, but it definitely didn't help anything. It didn't help anything that, hey, you're coming over to our country. You know, we welcome in with open arms. By the way, you can't go by that name that your family's gone by thousands of years.
And learn a new language.
Yeah. While you're at it. I'm not saying like you get to come here. I mean, there's a gift in that. And at the same time, there's this kind of like idea that, hey, we're, you know, you got to bend to us, where I think it's become a little bit more understanding as we've gone along.
Because I think it's definitely courteous to speak the language of the country that you're in. But how much do Americans try to do that when they are in other countries?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wonder how much of that is stereotype too. I mean, I know a lot of people that travel abroad, and every person I know works really hard to understand the lingo, understand the culture, and making sure that they're doing things right. I would think I would treat going to another country like going to my mom and dad's house. It's not my house. I treat it with respect. I treat it with, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I do need to say, of course, though, because I've been doing this job long enough, james.mailf@civicmedia.us. Before you do email me about bashing America, I love America. I'm not bashing America. I believe in accountability. That's all. And you can't change history. This is how it went. I'm not saying anything bad about America, USA, USA. anybody who listens to me knows what a big homer I am. But I anytime you say any small, tiny thing that is critiquing of our country, you will get a couple emails. I guarantee you. So we'll see. But just get my name right. That's all I ask. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some more fun. Did you have some?
No, just that I also not bashing America. I just think that it's something that I've definitely noticed in my time. I've only gotten to travel to England one time. Mm. But just being in London and getting to hear all of the different languages. And I am just honestly so impressed by people who can speak multiple languages.
Me too.
Even just more than one. And English is hard to learn.
Yeah, it is.
It's very difficult to learn. We have a very complex language that's based off of so many other languages and completely separate from all of them.
I'm still learning.
I'm still learning.
Every day. I'm trying, at least. I'm trying. Taking a break. Coming back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
Alone, listless, breakfast table in an otherwise empty room.
Melissa and James here with you. I'm about to get into a couple more fun topics, but next hour we're jam-packed. We've got entertainment news for you. We're going to get into controversial things people pretend to hate. we'll have that for you and plenty more Danny Wright stories, local good stories of the day, all lined up in that 9 o'clock hour. Right now, let's talk about the word sensitive, Melissa.
Okay.
If someone said you're a sensitive person, would you take it as a compliment or as an insult? How you answer might depend on this one thing. Someone asked 2,000 people, and it turns out men are more likely to see it as a compliment. Women might not. 37% of guys said that being called sensitive is high praise. That's compared to just 23% of women. Women are slightly more likely to take it as an insult than a compliment. 24% said that they feel slighted if someone called them a sensitive person. 71% of guys claims that they're in touch with their feelings, compared to 82% of women. So being a sensitive man is definitely in fashion now. 52% overall said that being seen as sensitive is a positive trait. 55% said that someone shows their sensitive side and makes them more likable. Okay.
Well, I can attest to why women say that it can feel like an insult is because that has been used as an attack.
Right.
You're being sensitive.
Right.
And how often that, you know, I've heard that when you're trying to just share your feelings or share about something or talk about something. So it's been weaponized.
And on this other side of that, with men, you're being too sensitive. Buck up. rub some dirt on that. What's wrong with you? How dare you? How dare you show a meat? Bury those feelings. That's what a man does. it's we haven't done a great job with any of this for either of the sexes. And it's not to say that we're not doing better now. And it's not about blaming anybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody set out and said, this is how I'm going to make society. We all did it. Everybody is a part of this one.
And we're proving with this survey that it's changing, you know, that men are okay with identifying as, yeah, I'm sensitive. I'm in touch with my feelings. I have soft parts, too.
Well, I can't think of many tougher human beings than my father. He was a hockey player, a boxer, worked at construction, worked with his hands his whole life. His man has seen and done things that half of you out there wouldn't even imagine. And he is the one that raised me on, you got to cry. Just it's the right time to. Like, mm-hmm. you cry over everything, it doesn't mean as much. You cry over a certain thing, you lose a dog, you lose this or whatever, that's okay. He used to tell me this story, and I'm not trying to get him in trouble, but I don't know if he was trying to pitch it off as his own story, but it wasn't until many years later I found that it was actually like a quote in the Bible or something. But it was something along the lines of the strong weeds, the weed that will not bend in the current breaks, whereas the weed that will bend with the current keeps going. Mm-hmm. And that is a big part of our emotions in life. Mm-hmm. And that this idea of, well, what a man is and what a woman is and all these things and stuff, that really...
They're just feelings.
They're just feelings.
And
just,
every human has them. And if you bury them and you don't, you know, acknowledge them, it's going to come back to bite you.
I don't think there's many stronger things you can do in life than being self-aware, than being in tune with yourself. That is one of the journeys of life. That is one of the points of it. And it is, to me, borderline, if not cowardly, to not face those things, to just bury that stuff. Anybody can do that. Anybody can be grumpy. Anybody can be burying things. Yeah. It takes a true human being, to me, in my mind, in my opinion, to be able to face this stuff.
Yeah. It's easy to put up walls. It's hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And I think that it's understandable, some of this article. I think that you started it right where we needed to with that term sensitive and how that has been weaponized and how we do certain things. I'll do this one. And keep in mind, everybody, I can get away with doing this. But I've my tribe and I have run into this many times in life. Jew. It's a simple word. Doesn't mean much. And it can be said very complimentary and very, you know, kindly. But but Jewish people also know what it's like when you hear Jew like that. So it's tone too, I think. I think some of that is a big part of this. If somebody says to you, man, I think you're pretty sensitive, you're pretty in tune with things, you know, like that doesn't come across as bad.
No.
But what you were talking about to start this off, which I am so glad you said, because I think it is incredibly noteworthy. And I've heard my mom, my sister labeled these things or get called these things as an insult when I think it's part of their superpowers that they are. I my mother and my sister are two of the greatest and most inspiring people that I've ever known. And I wouldn't change one thing about them. Well, maybe my mom, maybe not as much of a critic, but, you know, outside of that.
I can't believe you said that out loud, James. You're going to get in trouble.
I am very much going to get in trouble. I can already feel the smack against my head. But I think tone is big in this, too. Yeah.
It absolutely depends on the source and how it's delivered. Delivery is kind of everything.
Yeah.
And the intent behind it. If it was meant to hurt, well, then, yeah, you're going to take it negatively. If it was meant as a compliment and you choose to take it negatively, well, then you are being sensitive.
In the
wrong way.
Because I think that's okay, too, to realize, to call that out a bit.
Right.
Well, I think it's more important for you to call it out on yourself.
Exactly. I acknowledge that I'm being touchy about this.
I'm
being sensitive and I'm being, you know, overtly... taking things the wrong way, not as they were intended.
It's a balance. I don't think anybody is going to tell you that you got to be able to take a punch in life. You're going to have people that are going to try to knock you down. You're going to have people that are going to say things to you. Not everybody in life is going to interact with you perfectly. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to roll with those things. And at the same time, it's okay to be offended or hurt by something at times.
Yeah.
I just think you have to choose your battles wisely in life. I think you have to pick your moments.
Yeah, and
you don't always get to pick those moments. No. Sometimes your emotions pick them for you.
But sometimes it's always good to consider the intent behind what was said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everything should be taken with intent, I think, especially on social media. When you're seeing things that don't have any emotions behind them, they're just sentences.
Right.
And you're putting your own emotions on them. Mm-hmm. I may write, hey, how you doing? You may read it as, how you doing? It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, that's not how I meant it. It's, you have to take things in context. You have to take things like with a bit of tone to them.
Yes. So.
I don't know. I think that's an interesting story, though. I definitely think it's not as that ain't right of a story like this one. That was a horrible segue. That was bad.
Doesn't matter.
That was god-awful.
It's fun.
It's a good thing this janitor didn't work at a hospital. There's a lab in upstate New York called Rensselaer Prosthetic Institute, and they're suing a cleaning company because 3 years ago, a janitor who was working there ruined decades worth of research.
I just saw this headline.
The lab had a super cold freezer holding cell cultures, samples, and other research elements. The freezer made a beeping sound, and there were signs explaining that this is normal, how it could be muted.
Mm.
But the janitor found the beeping to be annoying, so he unplugged the freezer. That caused the temperature to slowly rise from minus 112 degrees Fahrenheit to minus 25.6, enough to wipe out 25 years of research.
Oh, my.
In the lawsuit, the lab says that it caused more than $1 million in damages. The cleaning company hasn't commented. Boy, I just don't even know. Like, it's a crime. It's tough. I mean, not a crime. It's tough for the company to have to go down with the ship on this one. But you did hire the guy.
You gotta train your staff.
You gotta.
Read signs.
Yes.
Don't unplug things.
Don't unplug things. I don't. There
it's
are
a research facility. That's kind of an important job to clean at a place like that.
Like, of all the places in the world that you would not unplug things, it's like hospital number one and then research lab like number two, I would think. I haven't done a whole lot of homework on this one, but I got to think like one and two pretty easily.
Any kind of lab, you know.
Any kind of
chemical,
lab.
Chemistry lab, physics lab. Don't unplug stuff.
I've spent a tiny bit of time in labs doing some homework and research back in the day for some acting work. And I walked in there, again, similar to like I treat like a relative's house. Like, I'm not touching anything. Yeah. I'm making sure, when I'm in the bathroom, I use the towel and I make sure I barely use the towel and it's right back in its place really nicely. Like, that's how I'm treating that lab. That's the last thing I'm doing is going, hey, what's this do? Hey, that's making a funny noise. I don't like it. Off. Yikes. Meanwhile, Ted Williams is unfreezing. I mean, that's what you're going to do. That's what the kind of things that are going to happen. You mess around with the lab like that. I don't think that is a good, that ain't right story.
Mm-hmm. $1 million worth of and just countless lost opportunities there.
Yeah.
And like, that can't be replaced.
That is heartbreaking to me. It's also a Snickers ad that didn't get made. Wanna get away? They're like, no, we better not do that one. This might be too soon. It is never too soon to call up the show, 424-2600. We've got just a handful of days left of June Dairy Month, and we are collecting votes for your favorite dairy product.
Oh, yeah.
We have ice cream and chocolate milk and butter and cheese and aged white cheddar and frozen custard. We've had votes from senators, and we've had votes from our staff and our community out here.
Did we get Paul's vote yet?
We did not.
We got to get Paul's vote.
Tomorrow morning, that is our job one before anything. No. I'm glad
we don't care about the weather, Paul. Tell us what's your favorite dairy product.
I'm glad you said that. That's a great, you're so right. We got to get Paul's. We got to get his. We'll do that tomorrow morning and we'll have some fun with that. And thank you for doing that, Melissa. Actually, you teed me up perfectly because I did want to tease to the audience. Tomorrow, we got a special guest joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Taylor Schaefer is going to join us. Miss Allison Dairyland.
All right.
We ain't got to talk to Taylor in a while. That is going to be a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to wrap up June Dairy Month, talking to Allison Dairyland's own.
That oh, perfect.
Fun. We got good stuff coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around for it right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.